You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, it's day 384 of one of the most severe lockdowns in response to COVID anywhere in the world. And the brand father, Jeremy Sampson, MD of Brand Finance Africa, is on the line. Good evening, Jeremy.
Hello, Michael. Good to be with you, as always.
And we're joined tonight by one of the Belleville boys, Sydney Mbele, Sanlam's chief executive of Brand. Welcome to the show, Sydney.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Good evening to you and good evening to Jeremy and the listeners.
Now, Sydney, the reason we have you on the show, sorry to cut you off, Jeremy, and that's the difficulty of operating in this, we have a before Corona and after Corona environment, is we don't do anything face-to-face anymore. We've still got a no guests in studio policy, sadly, so it makes these things challenging. But Sydney, for a brand like Sanlam, it's a time for you to sit down and say, well, what has changed in this world that is now kind of after Corona? And you recently announced the reboot of your business to become a purpose-led organization and brand. What does that mean? What does purpose-led mean in the context of being the continent's largest non-banking financial services group?
Michael, let me just set this context. We operate in 34 countries on this continent, and one of the pillars of our strategy is to be a Pan-African champion. We do have operations outside the continent as well, but let's just stay with the continent for a second. There's a billion people living in Africa, and a few of those people have financial services, you know, and that's just the reality. So if you want the economy of this continent to grow, you need financial services. You know, financial services powers the economy. And financial services is like the railroad. You need to put in the railroad, you know, for you to be able to effect, you know, a business and exchange, you know, across the different territories. And you've got to engage as many people as possible. So for a business like ours, which is the biggest non-banking financial services institution on this continent, we have to ask the question, you know, that if we were to be truly purposeful as an organization and play our rightful role, you know, how do we help, you know, make these societies to flourish? There's a very sobering quote by Adam Smith that I came across a couple of weeks ago, you know, that says no society can surely be flourishing and happy of which the far greater part of the members are poor and miserable. Mm. And I think that's a really, really powerful thing. So this notion of financial inclusion and providing financial security and giving people the confidence to be able to chase their dreams, you know, and aspirations, you know, it becomes quite important. So for a business like ours, if we want to be purposeful, to be a meaningful player, meaningfully and authentically, in enabling, you know, the people of this continent, we gotta be purposeful, and it's how you show up. It's the promise that we've made, you know, that says, you know, while we, you know, in the past, we may have, as just a society, you know, may have traditionally as business focused just on profit, the world is shifting dramatically, having been impacted by a range of factors. You know, we've seen the financial crisis, you know, we've seen these issues around climate change and the point you just made now about COVID and the precarious position it's put people from a financial perspective. And therefore, to be purposeful means that in our industry, we play that rightful role that enables people to be able to chase their dreams and aspirations. And that's really what we're trying to do here.
And takes it beyond just a nice phrase that exists above the receptionist's wall as you walk into the HQ. It is about inculcating this into the DNA of the organization, I'm sure. Jeremy, just to bring you in on this point, you often mention that, you know, brands and brand leaders, be it someone who's at a C-suite level like Sydney or the CEO, really are custodians of the brands. It's about keeping them fresh and relevant. What do you make of this recent refresh by Sanlam?
Well, good evening, Sydney, as well. Well, any brand has to stay fresh and stay relevant. And Sydney has been saying, from being a South African company based in the Western Cape at Bellville, it's now a Pan-African organization. And when you think about it, can you name any Pan-African brands? And this is where I think I've said it for a long time, Africa is arguably the most underbranded continent in the entire world. And this is where Sanlam is actually going into almost pioneering mode to stretch its brand right around the continent. And this is where I'm sure they've done a lot of research. They've looked at the whole thing very carefully. They've sorted out their positioning now, and now they're launching and going forward. And again, as we've heard, the potential for the entire insurance industry, even the banking industry, Africa is one of the biggest potential continents in the entire world at the moment. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But, you know, people should remember that Sanlam, on its market cap on the JSE, is 126 billion. People should remember that its brand is within the top 20 by value, and its brand is valued at about 9.5 billion rands. So it's a huge organization. So let's watch this space with great interest.
Now, Sydney, the other big issue that comes with COVID, beyond this era of now being purpose-led, understanding these driving forces around inequality and the haves and the have-nots, perhaps being accentuated by what we've seen, is obviously an accelerated digital transformation. And from what I see, you are using the two together. You've introduced AI into innovations such as a confidence coach chatbot to upskill financial literacy. You're also launching a financial literacy TV game show. How are you thinking about leveraging on these new technologies and tools to help people really live with confidence financially?
You mentioned something quite critical, is that, you know, relaunching a brand or really getting the ethos of a brand promise is not just sort of putting, you know, a collection of beautiful words together. It's about the DNA. It's about ensuring that what you promise, clients can experience. And we've spent a lot of time. I mean, this has been an 18-month process, you know, very iterative, very inclusive, very rigorous, just to make sure that we truly understand what brought us here, that we don't lose, you know, those root strengths. And our root strengths really are about empowerment, you know, as a business. You know, we are a business, you know, that traditionally has always been, you know, at the heart of empowerment, right, since 1918. And the reason it's taken this long is that, you know, it's important to make sure that who we are, what we do, and what we say are congruent. You know, marketing is not just, or branding is not just about kind of putting lipstick on a bull. It's about ensuring that what you promise people can experience. Now, how do you help them experience this thing? How do you make it tangible? Becomes quite important. And that's why you see these examples of things that, you know, that that we've built, you know, like the AI bot, you know, like this, you know, this financial literacy game show. What we're trying to do is make tangible what we are promising and truly give people, you know, enable people, give them the financial literacy skills that they need to be able to deal with.
Oh. Sydney, are you still there?
Oh. You've got to make it tangible.
Oh, Sydney, I'm afraid we've been having a few technical issues with our line. We were supposed to have your colleague, Nozizwe, join us as well, as the lines just break up there. So sadly, I'm going to have to say goodbye. Very interesting brand refresh there from Sanlam, and hearing from Sanlam's chief executive of brand, Sydney Mbele. Jeremy, I found your column in the FM today calling all all rock stars. Very interesting. And as you say, South Africa needs more celebrity CEOs, visible leaders with the vision and resolve to guide their companies through the most difficult of times. And I've got to agree with you. Apart from Adrian Gore and maybe Neil Froneman in the mining sector, there are very few CEOs who really have a liking for the limelight, the same way that a Mark Zuckerberg or a Tim Cook or an Elon Musk do. Why is that so necessary for corporate brands?
Michael, what triggered me to write this was, firstly, Brand Finance did a ranking of what they call the top chief executives around the world and brand guardianship. So we have a sort of a matrix of 9 points where through research we measured who the top executives are around the world. And it was interesting how many companies one knew, but one didn't know the chief executives. But the other thing that in South Africa at the moment, as we're saying, very few chief executives are standing up. And I, as you saw in the article, listed 10 what I thought were top companies, not in any necessary order, but then asked people to name the chief executives. And I have to say, I think I got up to about 6 out of 10, but I couldn't mention all 10. And that made me think, well, what's going on here? I've got to say, one of the reasons is I think a lot of chief executives don't have a higher profile is because it puts them at political risk at times, because the ANC over the last 2 decades has not been slow to criticize and pillory and threaten the companies. And I'm using that word deliberately. At the moment in the United States, the Republican senators are putting through or trying to put through laws in over 40 states which will actually hogtie the voting process at the next elections. And now over 100 American companies have stood up collectively and said, this is not on, this is rubbish. And in fact, the CEO, of, I think it's Levi Jeans, has been particularly strong in this. And this is what I'd like to see happen in South Africa, that the CEOs got together. Yes, the ANC can pick off one guy here and one guy there and one company. But if collectively they stood up more strongly, I think we would change the balance of power. Now, the fact of the matter is that in South Africa, if we don't have top companies, where is the country going to be? It's not the politicians who are the key powerhouse of this country. It's business. And at the moment, politicians, the public sector, and the private sector are not working together at all. And we all know that this country desperately needs to turn itself around. All the poor, poor people who are unemployed, all those suffering, what's happening to them? Absolutely nothing. No, every week we hear about raw sewage here and pit toilets there, and it hasn't changed. And this is where I think captains of industry, with their huge influence and their huge power, collectively could do a lot more than they are at the moment. And I'm not talking politics, I'm talking business.
Yeah, and through Business for South Africa, there is the first kernels and seeds of this. But even at that level, too often I hear of CEOs, the likes of Adrian Gore, at that level, wanting to meet with government, and you would expect government to then send a director general or a minister or a deputy minister. And instead, they end up meeting with all due respect, low-level bureaucrats. They can't make decisions. Now, it just shows you the kind of esteem with which government holds business in, if that's the attitude, and that certainly has to change. Just lastly, speaking of captains of industry, Dr. Johan van Sale retiring, yep. The head of Toyota Motor Europe and a big driver of the public-private growth initiative, we need to put him to work elsewhere.
Well, he's a product of the Northwest Business School, and within Toyota he rose and rose and rose. To be Albert Dessel's main lieutenant. Remember, Albert Dessel's the founder of Toyota. And then he became the Europe and Middle East and Africa head. So arguably he was the most important non-Chinese executive within Toyota. So I think he's been living in Brussels the last 4 or 5 years. And I see he's coming back to live in Springs. He'll still be active. But someone of his experience, his ability. It's fantastic, firstly, that he's coming back to South Africa. He's not deciding to live overseas. But I hope that he's still fit enough and well enough to be harnessed, if I can use that word carefully, back into helping South Africa industry, because he's still got an awful lot to offer. He's a very, very quiet man. He doesn't seek publicity at all.
Yeah.
But boy, is he very effective.
But the fact is, he's coming back home. He hasn't decided to settle abroad, which I think in itself says an awful lot about what he feels about the future of this country. A very positive signal. Jeremy, unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for this week. Thanks for yours, and look forward to catching up soon.
Michael.
That was Jeremy Sampson, the brand father, with the brands and sense, as always.